In the name of God, hello and welcome. I'm Ali Reza Madadi with the latest coming to you live from Tehran. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif has reaffirmed the Islamic Republic's full commitment to last year's nuclear agreement with the six world powers, but warned of other options at Tehran's disposal in case of failure to comply with the deal by the other sides.
Iran has been implementing its part of the bargain. Unfortunately, the United States, even during the current administration, has not fully implemented its part of the bargain. But we believe that JCPOA is a reasonable agreement, good for everybody. That's our preference. Doesn't mean that we do not have other options. Iran wants to remain committed to JCPOA, provided that everybody else is prepared to do the same.
Speaking in a joint press conference with his Czech counterpart in Prague on Friday, Zarif also echoed Iran and the Czech Republic's resolve to help end Middle East crises.
We share common positions about the need to put an end to the hostilities in the region, about the need to find a political solution to the crises in Syria and in Yemen. The way to find the solution is to accept the fact that there is no military solution, and we have all to work for a political solution both in Syria and in Yemen. And a political solution would have to preserve the territorial integrity and national sovereignty of these countries and allow for an inclusive government which is comprised of all segments of the population without exclusion of one or another part of the population in any of these countries in Syria, in Iraq, or in Yemen. And we are prepared to work with our friends in the Czech Republic and with the European Union in dealing with the menace, in fact, the threat of extremist violence, as well as drugs and terrorism that is affecting our region, both in the Middle East, in Central Asia, as well as in Europe.
Elsewhere in the press, Zarif stressed the importance of enhancing cooperation with the Czech Republic in different fields, the development of peaceful nuclear technology in particular.
We are now happy to provide the necessary political infrastructure as well as financial infrastructure in terms of banking relations for the private sector to engage in a whole range of possibilities from railroad, where the Czech Republic is interested in completing the north-south corridor which connects the Persian Gulf to both the Black Sea as well as Europe through Russia. So these are possibilities for us to engage. Our Vice President for Nuclear Energy was here in the Czech Republic a few weeks ago, and he had good conversations with the Czech companies about engaging with the Czech Republic in the production of peaceful nuclear technology.
A senior Iranian cleric has called on the next U.S. president not to repeat his successor's mistakes about Iran. Addressing thousands of worshippers at the weekly Friday prayers in Tehran, Hujjatul Islam Ahmad Khatami said if the United States president-elect Donald Trump follows the same path as his predecessor, he would undoubtedly face the same problems. Khatami said even the American people are tired of adventurism of their country's officials and politicians across the world. Khatami added that wherever the slightest dispute breaks out in the world, the U.S. shows up and spends its taxpayers' money to help murder the local people, such as in Yemen, Syria, and many other countries. The Iranian cleric expressed hope that President-elect Donald Trump would act wisely and try to avoid inciting tensions around the world, pointing out that Iran pursued impartiality during the U.S. presidential campaign. Khatami said after the U.S. election, Iran also adopted a wise stance of not interfering in the U.S. internal affairs by respecting the votes of American people. Now, nationwide protests against U.S. President-elect Donald Trump have come to climax in Portland, Oregon, where police clashed with angry demonstrators. The demonstration in Portland turned violent on Thursday night as thousands of demonstrators took to the streets in the western city. Stores and car windows were smashed, and police declared the protest a riot, citing extensive criminal and dangerous behavior. Police fired tear gas to disperse Portland protesters, who in turn threw objects at them. A number of protesters were detained in the process. Demonstrators also took to the streets in many cities across the United States to protest against Trump's victory in the November 8 presidential elections. In the state of California, hundreds of high school and university students walked out of classes to join other protesters who gathered in Los Angeles and San Francisco. Police detained scores of protesters in both cities. Similar rallies were also held in Minneapolis, New York, Washington, D.C., and Dallas, Texas. Meantime, a number of demonstrators marched from the White House, where Trump held his first transition meeting with President Barack Obama, to the Trump International Hotel, a few blocks away. The protesters carried signs against Trump's alleged racism, voicing concern that he will strike a blow against civil rights. The protesters also slammed Trump's controversial campaign rhetoric against immigrants, Muslims, and other minority groups. Back in the Middle East, a UN official says ISIL terrorists are stockpiling ammonia and sulfur in civilian areas in the city of Mosul, possibly for use as chemical weapons amid an Iraqi army operation to liberate the city. A UN human rights spokeswoman also stated on Friday that ISIL executed more people in and around Mosul this week. The victims included 20 civilians shot dead for allegedly leaking information. ISIL terrorists also executed one man for using a mobile phone. Iraqi troops found a mass grave with over 100 bodies in the nearby town of Hammam al-Khalil earlier this week. The UN official said that the mass grave is one of several ISIL killing grounds. According to the UN, teenagers or young boys with explosive belts are being deployed in the alleys of Old Mosul, while abducted women are being distributed to accompany ISIL convoys. The battle to retake Mosul, the terror group's last major bastion in Iraq, is now in its fourth week. Meantime, ISIL has announced it had beheaded six of its own members for deserting the battlefield near Mosul. On Friday, troops from Iraq's elite counterterrorism service resumed their offensive on the streets of Mosul after several days of relative quiet. One commander said his forces have begun the attack on Abdurjah neighborhood and clashes were ongoing after the first row of buildings in the area were seized. Troops were also to begin another attack to retake the Kirkuki neighborhood. Iraqi forces are now closing in on the city from three sides. And the South Korean Prosecution Service raided Samsung head office in Seoul in a financial scandal involving embattled President Park.
Prosecutors have raided the headquarters of South Korea's tech giant Samsung Electronics as the corruption scandal involving President Park Geun-hye and her close friend and aides spreads into the corporate sector. Prosecutors seek evidence related to corporate donations made to foundations controlled by Park's confidant, Choi Soon-sil. Many people feel embarrassed over what they view as the downfall of South Korea's democratic system.
The Park administration's problems have been revealed only recently, but they didn't develop just now. They arose a long time ago, and since then corporations benefited with their foul play. Such wrongdoings were repeated and snowballed into an uncontrollable situation. I think we should fix this now rather than later.
President Park this week met with lawmakers in an effort to strike a power-sharing deal that would allow the parliament, which is under the control of opposition parties, to pick the next prime minister. The lawmakers rejected the president's overtures and insisted on her resignation. The crisis has forced Park to abandon her scheduled foreign trips.
In a way, she's really finished in terms of her political legitimacy. I don't see how she can credibly represent the Korean people at this stage, and that seems to be what the public is saying. And the ruling party, her own party, the Sanity Party, is also quite eager to get rid of her. And now it's the question of whether Sanery will somehow cut her loose and still come out of all this with a new candidate looking better, or whether there really will be some sort of upheaval at the heart of the system.
President Park also faces massive demonstrations demanding her resignation, with a million-strong march to be held on Saturday. As prosecutors question her former aides, President Park's approval rating wallows in single digits. The power-sharing agreement with opposition leaders is up in the air, leaving, by many accounts, a power vacuum in South Korea's political and diplomatic leadership.
Well, that's it for me now. Thank you very much indeed for staying with us. Goodbye.